Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Lord, we thank you right now as we continue in Casket Empty, this series. We're so grateful, God, for your blessing upon our lives. And we're thankful, Lord, for your word that you've given us, that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We pray, let your word illumine us today and speak to us today. Lord, I'm just a feeble man, but God, I thank you that you can speak through my words and give every individual here exactly what they need in this day, in this moment, in this season of their lives. Open our ears, God. Unplug spiritual ears. Let everyone hear what it is that Jesus would be saying to us corporately and also individually. Amen. So, we're on Father Abram, and I want to just start by Romans 4:12 says that we want to walk in the footsteps of Abraham. That's footsteps of the faith of Abraham. That is a scripture that really grabbed hold of me, and so I want to title this message, In the Footsteps of the Faith of Abraham, because all of us, it says in this passage, who are not circumcised, in other words, we were Gentiles, we were outside of God's covenant. We now, too, through faith, can walk in the footsteps of the faith of Abraham. What's not to learn from Abraham? He is the father of faith. There are three major world religions that claim him as their father, right? Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. We all claim Abraham as our father. And the journey of faith that he lived and walked was incredibly perilous, incredibly challenging. It's unbelievable. This man who basically was promised so much and given so little, yet he believed. But he had many challenges too, and we're not going to hold that back in this brief four-hour message today. All right, so just kidding. But let's look at this. First, we want to just talk about the call of God. His call was unique. And God's call for Abraham was very simply two things. Number one was get out. Get out of Dodge. Get out of Ur of the Chaldeans. Get out of this idol-worshipping place that has no room for God. Get out of there and then go into a land. So it was get out of something and come into something new, a new land that God had promised to him. And so that was the gist of his call. It was a unique call. It wasn't for everyone. It was his unique purpose in life to be a father of faith. And by the way, three things that Scripture tells us about Abram, and he was Abram before his name changed to Abraham, but Abram was three things. Number one, he was the father of faith. Number two, he was the friend of God. He was called the friend of God. What a beautiful expression. And number three, he was the father of many nations. So this is one of the big daddies of Scripture. And it's interesting how Scripture in the Old Testament, the Torah, will mention like Noah in two or three chapters. Some people just one verse, some great people of faith, one verse or sometimes a chapter. But all of a sudden you get into chapter 11 and it goes from chapter 11 for about 12 chapters or 13 chapters. And it's all about Abraham in detail. And it's kind of like, you know how parents are with the firstborn child, or like my wife is with her twin daughters, our twin daughters. It's like right. It all depends what moment we're in, right? But no, just kidding. Just erase that from your memory. But you know what? We're Kodak people. You know, we Nathan was my first child. And every moment with Nathan was a picture. By the time I got to my fourth with John Luke, you know, the first child, he skinned his knee. We took him to the hospital, urgent care. And the fourth child, it's like we screamed at him for bleeding on the carpet. But, you know, you start to relax as a parent over time. But that first child, and this is what you see in Abraham. It's like God wants to give us detail about the man whom he loved. Abraham walked down the street. Why is that in there? Because God loves Abraham. God's flipped out over this man. And so this is the connection we're getting as we read through these steps and his ups and downs. He was so up and down. He was much like the Dow Jones Industrial Average over at least 20 years, but it's way up and down. But he finished up just like the Dow Jones is on the up right now, but after 20 years. But you look at this and you think this is incredible. And I want to mention that because a lot of people look at his calling. Get out of your country. Leave your people. Leave your family. Leave your father's house. Leave your kindred family country. KFC. Leave KFC and go to Popeyes to the promised land. All right. All right. Just kidding. But you look at this and you think I'm not called to leave my wife, my kindred family. You know, I'm not called to leave, So your call is not Abraham's call. But there is a similarity in that all of us are called to leave darkness and come into God's light. All of us are called to get out of the darkness. So that's unquestionably a similarity. And I want you to see this little portion of 2 Timothy 1:9, because this describes our calling. It says, God who saved us and called us to a holy calling, a set-apart calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages. You who have been saved also have a holy calling. Maybe you haven't discovered it yet, but that's why you're here. You're going to discover your holy calling of God. And it won't be the same as mine or the person beside you. It's going to be unique. It'll be a part of your uniqueness, your identity, and who God created you to be and what he called you to do. So stay on the path. God will reveal that to you over time, but it's something that's part of your grace package. Now look what it says in Hebrews 11:8 about his calling. Abraham's calling. It says, by faith he obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not even knowing where he was going. And this is fascinating because, you know, when God told him to get out, it wasn't like some vague or mysterious or philosophical get out. It was a very clear mandate from God. Get up and get out of this place. Don't take anything with you or anyone. Just get out of there. And sometimes for us to move into faith, we have to do the unthinkable and do something radical. And it's like, man, I can't, you know, there's a brother in our church that's praying about starting a charter school in the Bronx. Come on, baby. Let the war begin, you know? And this is what we as believers, we don't just have a calling to God. We have a calling to a purpose of God and a mission from God and something that's unique. And it will be a fight. It will be a fight of faith. But it says here, the greatest part that you see in Abram is that Hebrews 11:8 says that he obeyed God and he went out even though he did not know where he was going. It wasn't that clear. And I want to encourage those of you who are following God. Sometimes we're in a dark place, a mysterious place. We don't know where we're going. We can't live in certainty because there is an element of faith that is questionable. Like Peter, like, what am I doing out of the boat walking on water? Sometimes we're like, what am I doing saying yes to God to come to New York City? Like, what am I doing here? You know, where it costs everything just to survive. Where this is not Toto, we're not in Kansas, right? This is sometimes it's hostile. And you look at what you're doing and your calling and your job and what you're fighting for. My encouragement to you is keep fighting the good fight of faith. And the most important thing is to obey God and do what he calls you to do. Because in that very thing, you are winning the accolades of heaven, which is greater than any reward that earth can ever give you. And this is what he did. He went out. There was no MapQuest. There was no Waze. There was no app. There was no internet. There wasn't even a map. I mean, there was nothing. But he walked in faith. And we too are called to walk in the faith of the steps of Abram. And look at the next two verses in Hebrews 11. It says, by faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs of with him, his children and grandchildren, heirs of the promise. For he was looking forward to the city or the people that has foundations whose design and builder is God. Aren't we looking for that? Isn't it refreshing to be together with the people of God? On mission with the people of God. On mission. Living together on mission. Not just like just not like just hanging out at the bar and having a cool one, or you know, just like, what'd you watch on TV last night? But we're on mission. Nothing wrong with hanging out and having a cool one either. Just, you know, just don't have too many cool ones, yet, right? But yeah, I mean, it's like somebody asked me one time, is drinking beer a sin? I said, you know, only if it's one of these low-fat beers, okay? So that's a sin, all right? Don't drink a diet beer, all right? But anyway, let's get back to this. Where were we? So going into the land of promise. I met with a guy 2 weeks ago when we were speaking in the Hamptons, and God's opening doors for us there. And I met this young man, and he was the son and the heir of a major real estate company, and something happened to him, and he was right on the track, you know, to be the next big one in all the magazines, hanging out with the celebs, and it's you know, it's just a different culture there, but something happened, and that is, he met Jesus out of a Roman Catholic background. He'd never read the Bible for himself or whatever. He had this encounter with God, and it just upended his life, and he met Jesus. And about 2 years after meeting Jesus, Jesus made it very clear that he was to leave his family business. I can't even begin to tell you financially how big that was. But when you begin your faith journey with God, sometimes in the natural, you're taking several steps backwards to go forward. And he did that. And now amazing things have started to happen to him, including a calling to preach the gospel. And he has zero regrets. He knows that it's the right thing. When we obey God, more than anything else, we're free in our heart. We're free. We're free. Freedom you can't buy with money. It's funny how many people have all this money, and then they lose a little bit of it, and they jump out a window or jump off a bridge. It's because it's an idol. It's not even life-giving. It's not even, when things have you, you're a slave. Just like the Egyptians made the Israelites slaves. They were slaves, and you're in bondage. And God does ultimately want your freedom, and the freedom comes in obedience to his voice and following the Lord. So he went, and even though Abraham, all he got was some cemetery lots, he didn't get all the land. That was for his descendants. He got a few cemetery lots. Now, if you're like me, I would think like, man, that's a bum deal. It looks like sometimes Abram's getting a bum deal. You ever notice how Noah got the sign of the covenant was a rainbow? And Abraham got a different sign of the covenant. Ouch. I mean, it doesn't really seem fair, does it? And then he's told he's going to get all this. Come on now. I'm just talking the Bible here. Sorry, ladies. Maybe it's a man thing. But here's the point. Oh, man, I got to get out of this one. But here's the point. He was told that he'd get this big land, right? But it wasn't for him specifically, it was for his offspring would inherit this land. And sometimes we, in our little materialistic, consumeristic, individualistic culture, think it's got to be all about us, when as a seed of God, you're planted that the generations coming after you can possess the land that you could only dream of. And this is significant because it's really who God makes us to be. And that's making us bigger and better than we could ever imagine. And part of the covenant with Abram is, I will make your name great. And you're going to be a blessing. You're going to be blessed to be a blessing to others. It's so good to be on mission with you guys. It's so good. And so he marched out. He went on. And then he goes in, he gets this calling in Genesis 12, and then something happens. Here's his first, issue is in 12:10. It says that he encountered a famine. It says that there was a famine in the land, in the promised land. When we're going towards the purpose of God, there's going to be issues. There's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulation. There's going to be things that you don't expect. And this was one that he didn't expect. There was a famine in the land. So here's what he did. Here's one of his He's already made several mistakes. We don't have time to go backwards into Genesis 11 and some of the delays and some of his denials and some of the things that he did already. But look at this. It says that he went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for this famine was severe in the land. And so this is what happens. See, famine, when we face famine, financial famine, relational famine, sometimes fear sets in. And when we're following and walking with God, we basically every day have two choices. Am I going to live in faith towards God, or am I going to live in fear? Pretty much every day. I don't know about you, but this is what I face pretty much every day. And we're going to see how he dealt with this. And this one, he failed. He said, let me just go down to Egypt because this is too severe. See, a lot of times God will guide us to another place, but other times God's saying, no, I want you to go. And instead of running from this, I want you to plant deeper. I want you to go deeper. This is what we do in our nature. It's like when we're not getting something, we leave it. If your marriage seems bad, you leave it. That's a wrong idea. You know, that is a wrong idea. When your marriage gets rough, to abandon it. Because a lot of times you're doing life together. Now, we know that divorce, God hates it, but it does happen. And I'm not saying to say that it doesn't happen or to make anyone like myself feel badly for a divorce in your past. And so that's not the point of this. But a lot of times we get fickle. We get a hard spot in a job and we think, I got to leave it. The true character is to allow God to do something so deep in you that your roots actually go down instead of out. And you, a plant can't survive if it's always being transplanted. And you've got to let that tree grow to be an oak tree. You've got to let your life grow through suffering famine at times and going deeper with God. So this is one of the things you see. And then it only gets a little bit worse when fear really kicks in with Abram. And that is, in the rest of this passage, it says that he was about to enter Egypt. And then all of a sudden, fear began to kick in on his life. And look at this. This is incredible. It says that he was about to enter, and he said to Sarai, his wife, I know that you're a beautiful woman in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they're going to say, this is his wife. And then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Who's he thinking about right here? So he's not a sanctified man yet, is he? And this is one of the things about a call. You can be called to be an heir of the world and still be a child in your faith. You can be an heir of the world and still be immature. And God wants to grow us into big people. He wants to grow us and help us to overcome. Says, so then he said, I want you to lie, basically. Sarah, I want you to lie and say you are my sister, that it may go well with who? Go well with, right? Come on now. Go well with me because of you, and that my life might be spared for your sake. And then when Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians did see that the woman was very beautiful. And when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and then the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. Dumb idea, Abram. You just lost your wife and gave her over to a false god, and now she is completely morally challenged in this situation. Now, the good news is that God intervened and put curses on Pharaoh's house because the woman of God, the woman of covenant, was there, and he got the message, and then she told him, and Pharaoh came out, Abram, how can you tell me such a gruesome lie? And he gave her back, and they God redeemed the whole situation. Now, what you're going to see in the footsteps of Abraham that we're following in is that we're going to make mistakes too. I've made a big bunch of mistakes already. I've already made so many mistakes, but here's the good news. God has redeemed me from every mistake that I can think of. God has redeemed me, and God redeems because God's in charge and because God's whom we serve and because he is a good God. He's not just good on the mountaintop, but praise God, he's good in the valley. And when you make mistakes, you're going to be in the valley and stuck in the valley, it feels like, but God is going to bring you out. Praise God. All right, going to Egypt, I'll just mention this. Going to Egypt, when you leave God's ways, will not make you a better person. It won't even make your circumstances better, and it will never change your heart, because the problem is, it's not about where you are. The problem is who you are and what's in your heart. And that's what must change. All right, then you read through in chapter 12, chapter 13. You have so many issues with Lot and his nephew Lot and the strife with the herdsmen and disputes and so many things that we read up here. And then you begin to see he continues to move in the direction of his calling. He continues in faith. You know, how so often how we get from A to Z, we get the calling and we know what the calling is, but how quickly we get there is so often about us and our persistent walk with God. It's just loving God through the ups and the downs and staying faithful. You know, and I appreciate a community like this where we can really be transparent with one another and look at each other and say, I'm going through it. I'm struggling. I'm suffering. Wednesday night is a beautiful night where we're praying together with people individually in our connect groups, in our small groups, in our homes, at the coffee shops, at Wednesday night. These are beautiful times to connect and really share our hearts. Sunday morning is more about the expression of just being together to worship and hear the Word of God. But in those moments, these are our times to share, get counsel, get advice so that we can carry on in the walk with God. So let's go to the next point. So the first is the call, the next is the covenant. And that's in Genesis 15. This, in my opinion, is one of the most important chapters of the entire Bible. Knowing this is knowing a piece of the entire Bible. I'm going to have to move through this quickly, but so let's read really quickly, and I'm going to work through this, make a few comments, and then we'll get to our closing point. Genesis 15:1. After these things, all the wars and everything he'd been through, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, and he said, "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield, and your reward will be very great." Why do you think he was fearing? It's because he had just been beaten up in these wars and battles that he'd been through. And when you're beat up and when you're tired, you can begin to fear. But as someone has said, it's often been said, this fear not is in the Bible. Do you know how many times? I've been told many times. I've never done the research myself, but 365 times there is a fear not in the Bible. So you get one for every day of your life. Every day you're going to fear not. We need to hear this because we're going through things, we're birthing things, we're moving forward in relationships, we're going after better jobs, better apartments, better housing, you know, better education for our kids. You know, we're going through all these things, and the word of the Lord to us, those of us who are going through this, is fear not. Don't be afraid. God has a plan for you. And he tells that to Abram. And Abram said, "Lord, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus," who was a significant businessman. So he had a ringer of a guy that was his servant. This is not like a guy that was running, going back and forth to Starbucks for him. This was a guy that was running an empire, okay? So think Bank of America executive. That's really what you think of when you think about Eleazar of Damascus, according to tradition and history. But Abram said, "Behold, you've given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man is not going to be your heir, your very own son, your very own offspring." What this is saying is that what's going to come out of you, out of the inside of you. Don't just always choose what's available. Look for what God has planted deep in your heart and believe that that's going to come forth. And that's what God says. This is going to come forth, and he's going to be your heir. And then God brought him outside, and he said, "Look toward the heaven. Number the stars if you're able to number them." And he said, "So shall your offspring be." And he believed the Lord. The Hebrew word, amen. He believed the Lord, amen. So be it. He believed it. And then it says that it was counted to him as righteousness. This is a powerful statement right here, because this is basically in essence. He was saying, first thing, he's like, get outside, look up and see that guy. And God so uses nature to give us revelation of what he's going to do in our lives. So often, look for those things. I've become somewhat of a, in this city, I've become more noticing of birds and flight patterns and bugs and ants, especially bugs that don't belong in your apartment. I'm on a mission. It's me against them, really. It's about 50-50 who wins. But you study things. And the Bible actually says little things like consider the ant, who having no chief or ruler, governs himself and stores up during the hard seasons. Look at the ant. Learn from the ant. We have a hawk that we watch in Central Park off of our balcony. There's a hawk. The hawk teaches us things about life, teaches us how to overcome, teaches us how to search, how to seek, how to be faithful. So many little things that we can learn as we go outside. But then when he says these words, that he believed the Lord. Now look, this was before he did anything. Matter of fact, he had been messing up before he did anything. This is before he was circumcised. Those of us that lived the religious rat race, get a hold of this, because this expression was used in 3 New Testament epistles and in the book of Hebrews, that he believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it legally unto him as righteousness. I want to say to you, with all certainty, that those who believe in Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, that the judge of heaven slams the gavel down and declares you legally not guilty, enter into the joy of the Lord and into the kingdom of God. Now our work for God is out of joy and out of sonship, not out of fear of punishment. We're not afraid of punishment anymore because of God's redeeming grace, and he calls us something that we know that we are not. He calls us righteous. And then we operate in this. And then you begin to see in the next part of this right here that he enters into the covenant relationship. As we go into verse 7, he says, Abram, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But then he said one more question. He said, Lord, how will I know that I am to possess this land? He said, bring me a heifer, 3 years old, a female goat, 3 years old, a ram, 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon, because you're a New Yorker right there. And he brought him all of these, and he cut them in half, laid them half on one side, half on the other. He cut the birds in half, and he set up this beautiful offering that was a pure description of what happens in the ancient East when they were going to enter into covenant. It required blood. It required a walk through the ritualistic sacrifice. It required curses and blessings to be read. It required all of this. And in that particular moment, you got to see this. Here's what happens. It's all laid out there. And all of a sudden, the birds of the air come in verse 12, I believe it is. The birds of the air come. Man, I'm running out of time here. Can I finish this or no? I have a summer vacation coming up. So let me finish. Will you guys let me finish this? All right. I'll help you clear up this room, okay? I'll help you clean it up or whatever. I'm going to finish this, all right? So look at this. Are we there? Can we get to verse 12 or no? Is it not working? Okay. It's not working. Okay. So I'm going to read you. I'm going to read you this because this is important. Look at your neighbor and say, this is important. All right, great. This is very important. This is important for everyone here. So, okay, good job. The sun, okay, he lays this out. Verse 11 says, the birds of the air come to steal the sacrifice. And it says, here's Abram gets mad, and he basically knows God's about to do something good for him. Do you know 2 things happen before you enter into something great? One thing is you experience fear and doubt and hesitation. That's normal. It's normal. First thing he says, don't fear. Don't be afraid. The second thing, when God's going to do something great in your life, the birds of the air are coming down to take the sacrifice before God had walked through it. And Abram got the energy, and he walks out and he shoos these. Here's an old man shooing the big vultures away. He doesn't have a broom to work with. I don't know what he's working with, the stick or his shirt or his robe or whatever, but he's chasing them off. When's the last time? Because Jesus said, the seed is planted. The birds of the fowl of the air come to take that seed of promise, and you've got to shoo it off of your own life. You've got to knock it out every day. When my daughter woke up in the middle of the night, and this is like the Saturday ritual. Satan hates me so bad that he wakes me up every Saturday night knowing something good is going down in this space, and the devil doesn't want me to have any sleep. And last night, a black, scaly animal comes in with red eyes and horns on the top and wakes my daughter up, and she's freaked out, right? And instead of, my first thought was, go back to bed, girl, and just go to sleep. Sleep through this, okay? Now, this is on top of my other daughter already having a nightmare. I wasn't planning to share this. But we live in a war zone. And I don't, you know, this is so interesting. None of this is like in the notes or whatever. I'm taking time now because you gave me permission. But I'm blaming on you. You know, just I blame you that we're late getting out of here today. We're not late yet. But this is important. If you don't learn how to fight back, the enemy will always take advantage of what God has for you. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Some of you are married. You're not even fighting when you get in. You just keep fighting your spouse. You got to fight the fight of faith. And the faith is built on what God said about you and your family and not what circumstances say. And Abraham kicked it off. Come on now, just Michael Jackson old move right there. Kick it off. Shoo, baby. Kick it. And when I climbed in bed with my daughter, we threw down. We rebuked everything. I'm telling you, we cleaned out the Upper West Side. It was clean. We were done at 4 a.m. It's cleaned out. I couldn't go back to sleep, but through all the coffee and Red Bull I've had this morning, I'm alive. Hallelujah. But look at this next verse. So here's what happens. And this is going to encourage equally. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram. And a dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. And then the Lord said, know this, Abram. Know this for certain. Your offspring will be sojourners in the land. And he goes on and he tells them what's going to happen the next 400 years about his offspring and everything. In the sleep, while he was sleeping, while you were sleeping, 1995 movie, while he was asleep, you know, you begin to think about this. My children are sleeping. It's just beautiful. I go in and look at them. I take pictures of them while they're sleeping. It reminds me of how much I love them. But when they get up and start putting forks and outlets, electrical outlets and things like that, it's love, but it's challenge and struggle. Right before Adam got Eve, God put him in a deep sleep, and he woke up and he said, wow. My, look at the goodness of God. And Abram went to sleep. While he was sleeping, God himself walks through and goes through and passes through this offering in the form of an oven and a flaming fire, and he just walks right through. And you know what? You see, this is like so much of the faith and grace of God right here. Because he knew that if Abram would walk through it, that Abram would fail and mess it up. And so God did it for him. God did it for him. This is a sign of the gospel, isn't it? This is the gospel. When Moses came down from the mountaintop, you know, it shows in the images he has two tablets. And some of the paintings has five commandments on one arm, five commandments on the other. That's 10. No, it wasn't that. It was two of the 10 commandments stones. That's what Moses brought down. One would be broken by the people, but the other went in the Ark of the Covenant because God knew that the people would fail, but God would never fail. And there would come one day, who would be faithful to fulfill all the laws of God. Every last one of them. He would be faithful. Then he would go to the cross. Now look at this in Galatians 3, verse 13 and 14. This is what Jesus did at the cross. And this is how you are tied in to Abraham. This is it right here. In Galatians 3, verse 13 And 14. I'll wait on this to come up. So is it just it's operating slow? Okay, great. Thanks. Thank you, Brooke. Great. Well, that's good. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming the curse for us. It's written in the Bible, cursed is everyone hanged on a tree. Cursed is everyone. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham. Was Abraham blessed? Was he blessed? Did he have a good name? Did he have a great life? Did he succeed? Did he overcome all of his mistakes? Yes. All of this. That the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. And that's the Spirit that resurrects us and regenerates us and writes the law that we could not fulfill externally. God writes it in our hearts and empowers us to do the will and the work of God. There's so much more to be said here, but I'm going to just, for the sake of moving forward, I'm going to have to skip really most of my third point. But the third point is really about the meaning and the assurance of this covenant. We're going to head into communion in this, and this is why this is important. Abram continued to make, even after this great and glorious moment where God lets him enter into a covenant with God. God lets Abram enter into a covenant with God. And the very next chapter is when his wife comes to him and says, hey, since I'm not able to have a child and you're not giving me a child, why don't you go into my handmaiden Hagar? Everybody just say right now up front, bad idea. Do you know culturally that was acceptable in the culture at that time? And do you know there's a lot of things that are culturally acceptable in this culture today that are not okay? Guys, we've got to understand that we are the people of God. We don't do everything culture allows us to do. We're not like everybody else. You've been set apart. Jesus died and he took your place. He took your curse. He took it so that you could receive a blessing. But when we go back to the culture, we're delaying our blessing by doing what the culture says is okay. And I could only list about 500 things right now. But just because the culture says it okay, it's not necessarily okay. And so he gets out of this one. They take their covenant promise in their own hands. And see, so often God wants us asleep and resting. God wants us on our knees and praying. But he doesn't want us trying to accomplish it all on our own. And that's a lesson for me all the time. There's a lesson for me. There's a door that I sort of secretly wanted open. And I decided I'm not going to do anything. I've tried that before. I'm not going to do anything. And then just two nights ago, that door opened up for something for me to do for God to advance his kingdom. It's something that I've wanted open for some time, and it just opened up. Stay tuned. I'll tell you more about that later. So God's covenant will prevail even through our mistakes. God's covenant. Why? Because he is good. He's faithful. And then in the reality, also God empowers us to do. Now, let me show you this image as we close here. This is a little bit of something I've just sort of mapped out of Abraham's ups and downs. And when you can look at this, this is each of these represent this pivotal moment for him where he either backslid or he sort of went sideways. And then finally, toward the end of his life, he's still doing crazy things. But here's the reality. By the time you get to the New Testament, and this is what's powerful about what God does for me and you. In the New Testament, there's not one mention that I know of any mistake that Abram made. And he made some big ones, way bigger than you've done. And when we get to communion right now, on this side of the blood of Jesus, there's going to be no reflection of your mistakes when you appear before God, because they've all been deleted, file deleted. It's over. We're free because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Amen.
You have been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.